Grace and mercy to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gone on a hike and come to a fork in the road? Especially in the spring and summer and fall, I really enjoy walking out in the woods. I remember growing up, my family would go hiking and camping fairly regularly. So imagine that you are on a hike and you come to a fork. There are two paths laid out in front of you, one of which is clearly the right way, the other of which is clearly the wrong way, and you'll only walk over a cliff into ruin. It's up to you to decide and figure out which of these two paths you are going to follow. But be careful, if you choose wrongly, you will only wander off into your own destruction. Our readings today set out two distinct paths, two distinct ways that we can live, the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness. Which is the more appealing option? Which one will you choose? That sounds like it should be an easy choice, right? But is it really? So we will look at what it means to be righteous, what it means to be wicked, and in the end, my hope and prayer is that we will understand which path we walk and how and why. And so, looking through our intro, as we do, or as we have been during Lent, we begin with the antiphon, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." That's the last verse of Psalm 1, the beginning of the book of Psalms, which kind of, you might say, lays out or sets the tone for the entire, for all of the Psalms, talking about righteousness and wickedness. Here are our two paths, the way of righteousness, the way of the wicked. One of these is known to God and leads to God. The other of these is foreign to God, is unknown to God, leads only to destruction. The way of righteousness means living according to God's commands. And Psalm 1 describes what this righteous man is like and how he lives. He delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree yielding fruit from God by taking in God's blessings the same way that a tree sucks in water. The righteous are those then who come before God in worship, those who come to God in prayer, those who read God's word and understand it to meditate on it. The righteous are those who obey God's will, who help those who are in need. As we see it in Luke's gospel, in our gospel reading today at the end, the righteous are like that tree that yields good fruit. Ezekiel, in fact, lays this out very well in our Old Testament reading when he describes the way, what it means to walk the way of the righteous, where he says that if you restore the pledge, give back what you have taken, walk in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, that is what it means to live in and walk along the way of the righteous. And so the way of the righteous is, of course, the way that we should strive to live as Christians, as those who believe in God. And yet, there is that other path out there that calls to us and tempts us along it. The way of the wicked, those who live contrary to God's law, The wicked are the ones who reject God's law, who ignore his warnings, who do not believe or follow the things that God commands. The wicked one closes their eyes to those who are in need, who do injustice, as Ezekiel lays it out. The wicked are those who fail to produce fruit like that tree in our gospel reading, which for 3 years has produced nothing. And so God, the owner, looks at it and says, chop it off. It shouldn't be taking up the space. Ultimately, that is all that is in store for the way of wickedness. It fails. The way of the wicked will perish, we read. In the Psalms it says, you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you, in our intro. It is about this, the way of wickedness, going after wicked things, that Paul warns the Corinthians in our epistle reading. To preface, this generation that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 10, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual drink. All of these people, they had seen God's blessings. They had eaten manna in the wilderness, which God had rained down on them daily to feed them. They had drunk from the same spiritual rock that had during their time in the wilderness. They had nothing to worry about. They failed to believe. They committed idolatry with the golden calf while Moses was receiving the law on Sinai. They tested God by demanding food, rejecting whatever he gave them. They committed adultery and sexual immorality in the wilderness, and when they reached the promised land, they were wicked and they all dropped in the wilderness. That entire generation, save two, died in the wilderness because of their sin, because of their wickedness. They're following the way of the wicked. They failed to believe and failed to reach the promised land. Look at the world around us, and you can see evidence all around us of these wicked people who are perishing through their unbelief. People who reject God's word by calling it simple human opinions. People who absent themselves from God's house, fail to worship him or give him thanks as they ought. Look at the people who start wars and suffer for it, who steal from others to their own hurt. All of this around us of the way of the wicked, which is perishing. So different from us who are righteous, right? You know, Jesus talks about some people like that in our gospel reading. The wicked people who suffer for their own actions. A group of Galileans who may or may not have been starting an insurrection against Rome are all killed by Roman soldiers, their blood being mingled with their sacrifices. A tower collapses and crushes 18 people. Were these people any worse than those who are telling Jesus this story? Not according to Jesus. Jesus says, do you think that these were worse sinners? No, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So, who is the wicked person who follows the way of wickedness, who is perishing? Have you looked in the mirror? That is, apart from Jesus, where we are. Apart from Jesus, unfortunately, that is where we are. We are those wicked ones. Do we always obey God's will? No. Do we always help those who are in need? Do we always produce the good fruits born out of faith? No. We fail to live up to God's commands as much as anyone else. We fail to be the righteous people that he has called us to be. That is exactly what Paul warns us against in 1 Corinthians, that do not follow the example of wicked Israel, which fell in the wilderness. Do not fall away after receiving God's blessings. And yet ultimately, we are the ones who are perishing in our wickedness, just like those Galileans, just like those on whom that tower fell, just like those Israelites who fell in the wilderness. We also, apart from God, are fallen. We need to hear and heed God's call to repentance every bit as much as they did. And with that being the case, what a blessing it is to hear God's words through Ezekiel. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their way and live. There is only one way for us to be redeemed and saved. And that is by the one man who could truly walk that way of righteousness. Only one truly righteous person ever lived. One man who believed God's word perfectly and trusted it perfectly, who heard and obeyed God's law perfectly from birth to death. Jesus Christ, who lived the sinless life, caring for and helping others, following the law perfectly, submitting perfectly to God's will, helping those and teaching. Jesus walked that way, and it led him to the cross to give his own life thereon to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. Jesus Christ warns us of our sins and urges us to repent, and he promises forgiveness to us. That is the message of God. Repent. If a wicked man turns from his wickedness, he will live. If a God will forgive him. That is Paul's warning to the Corinthians. Repent. Learn from Israel who died in the wilderness and turn away from their wicked ways. That is Jesus' message to us. Repent. Come to him and receive the forgiveness that he offers. Do not cling to your own self-righteousness. Repent and cling to him. It is by means of Christ's perfect righteousness, by means of the Holy Spirit given to us in our baptism, by means of the one body and blood of Jesus poured out for us on this altar, that we repent of our sins and turn away from the wickedness. Jesus plucks us up off of that path of wickedness. He places us onto the path of righteousness. He leads us down the path which he walked, one of righteousness and holiness, leading through the cross and grave to Easter. The Lord knows the way of the righteous because he walked it. We know it because we follow him. So if you feel lost, if you feel as though you have lost your way, take heart. God's promise of forgiveness and restoration still stands. The Lord our God knows you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you and take away your sins. He made the sacrifice, he paid the price to redeem you from your wickedness. and his righteousness makes up for your wickedness. By faith, he clothes you in the white robes of his righteousness so you can walk in his ways. Without the Lord, we would be truly lost, wandering the path alone. But with Jesus by our side, we are truly found. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, walking his path where he leads. Amen.